Chapter 1. She nearly killed an innocent man. Creighton Charlie Bondurant drove carefully because his life depended on it. Latigo Canyon was mile after mile of neck-wrenching hairpin twists. Charlie had no use for government meddlers, but the 15-mile-per-hour signs posted along the road were smart. He lived 10 miles up from Canaan Doom Road, on a 4-acre remnant of the ranch his grandfather had owned during Coolidge's time. All those Arabians and Tennessee Walkers and the mules Grandpa kept around because he liked the creature's spirit. Charlie had grown up with families like his. No-nonsense ranchers, a few rich folk who were still okay when they came up to ride on weekends. Now, all you had were rich pretenders. Diabetic and rheumatoid and depressed, Charlie lived in a 2-room cabin with a view of oak-covered crests and the ocean beyond. 68, never married. Poor excuse for a man, he'd scold himself on nights when the medicines mixed with the beer and his mood sank low. On happier days, he pretended to be an old cowboy. This morning, he was somewhere between those extremes. His bunions hurt like hell. 2 horses had died last winter, and he was down to 3 skinny white mares and a half-blind sheepdog. Feed and hay bills ate up most of his Social Security. But the nights had been warm for October, and he hadn't dreamed bad, and his bones felt okay. It was hay that got him up at 7 that morning, rolling out of bed, gulping coffee, chewing on a stale sweet roll, to hell with his blood sugar. A little time out to get the internal plumbing going, and by 8 he was dressed and starting up the pickup. Coasting in neutral down the dirt road that fed to Latigo, he looked both ways a couple of times, cleared the crust from his eyes, shifted into first, and rolled down. The Topanga feed bin was a 20-minute ride south, and he figured to stop along the way at the Malibu Stop and Shop for a few 6-packs, a tin of Skoal, and some Pringles. Nice morning. A big old blue sky with just a few clouds from the east, sweet air blowing up from the Pacific. Switching on his 8-track, he listened to Ray Price and drove slow enough to stop for deer. Not too many of the pests before dark, but you never knew what to expect up in the mountains. The naked girl jumped out at him a lot faster than any deer. Eyes full of terror, mouth stretched so wide, Charlie swore he could see her tonsils. She ran across the road, straight in the path of his truck, hair blowing wild, waving her arms. Stomping the brake pedal hard, Charlie felt the pickup lurch, wobble, and sway. Then the sharp skid to the left, straight at the battered guardrail that separated him from 1,000 foot of nothing. Hurtling toward blue sky, he kept hitting the brake, kept flying, said his prayers and opened the door and prepared to bail. His damn shirt stuck on the door handle. Eternity looked real close. What a stupid way to go. Hands ripping at his shirt fabric, mouth working in a combination of curses and benedictions, Charlie's gnarled body tightened. His legs turned to iron bars, and his sore foot pressed that brake pedal down to the damn floorboard. The truck kept going, fishtailed, slid, spattered gravel, shuddered, rolled, bumped the guard. Charlie could hear the rail groan. The truck stopped. Charlie freed his shirt and got out. His chest was tight and he couldn't suck any breath into his lungs. Wouldn't that be the shits? Spared a free fall to oblivion only to drop dead of a damned heart attack. He gasped and swallowed air, felt his field of vision grow black, and braced himself against the truck. The chassis creaked and Charlie jumped back, felt himself going down again. A scream pierced the morning. Charlie opened his eyes and straightened and saw the girl. Red marks around her wrists and ankles. Bruises around her neck. Beautiful young body, those healthy knockers bobbing as she came running toward him. Sinful to think like that. She was scared, but with knockers like that, what else was there to notice? She kept coming, arms wide like she wanted Charlie to hold her. But screaming, those wild eyes, he wasn't sure what to do. First time in a long time he'd been this close to bare female flesh. He forgot about the knockers. Nothing sexy about this. She was a kid, young enough to be his daughter. Granddaughter. Those marks on her wrists and ankles, around her neck. She screamed again. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God! She was right up to him now, yellow hair whipping his